Gaddis, page 78, the middle of the page. Mao also appears to have decided, soon after this, that the Korean Peninsula would be a good place for Chinese armies to confront the American aggressors. We know that he began building up troop strength in northeast China as early as July, after receiving advice from his military commanders that one should open an umbrella before it starts to rain, and that he canceled plans for his own invasion of Taiwan in August, weeks before MacArthur's landing at Incheon had created the possibility that Americans might invade North Korea and approach the Manchurian border. If the U.S. imperialists win in Korea, Mao told his Politburo on August 4th, they may get so dizzy with success that they may threaten us. We therefore must come to North Korea's aid and intervene in the name of a volunteer army, although we will select the best timing. As it happened, Mao anticipated MacArthur and explicitly warned Kim Il-sung to expect a landing at Incheon. Kim took no precautions, though, and after it took place on September 15th, Zhao Enlai launched a series of diplomatic initiatives aimed at deterring United Nations forces from crossing the 38th parallel. These have been taken to mean that Mao was genuinely reluctant to get into the war, and that it was Washington's own neglect of Chinese warnings that brought about 2.5 years of presumably unnecessary Sino-American conflict following China's intervention in late November. More recent accounts, based on Chinese sources, suggest that Mao had intended to intervene all along, and that Zhao's maneuvers had more to do with establishing a plausible justification for entering the war, together with uncertainty over whether Soviet military assistance would be forthcoming, than with any reluctance on Mao's part to fight the Americans and their allies in Korea. It now appears that neither interpretation is entirely correct. On September 29th, a badly shaken Kim Il-sung warned Stalin that if United Nations troops did indeed invade North Korea, his own forces would not be able to stop them, and his country would become a military springboard of the U.S. imperialists. Long quote. Therefore, dear Iosif Vissarionovich, we cannot help asking you to provide us with special assistance. In other words, at the moment when the enemy troops cross over the 38th parallel, we will badly need direct military assistance from the Soviet Union. If for any reason this is impossible, please assist us by forming international volunteer units in China and other countries of people's democracy for rendering military assistance to our struggle. End of quote. Stalin responded not to Kim, but to Mao, requesting on October 1st that he send Chinese volunteers because the situation of our Korean friends is getting desperate. Mao acknowledged the next day that he had indeed planned to send troops to Korea, but having thought this over thoroughly, we now consider that such actions may entail extremely serious consequences. Chinese forces were poorly equipped, there was no assurance that they would prevail against the Americans, and the resulting confrontation could easily provoke an open conflict between the USA and China, and as such a consequence of which the Soviet Union can also be dragged into a war. Such a conflict would be completely disrupt our entire plan for peaceful construction. We need peace. Not sending troops would be, of course, very bad for the Korean comrades, who would now have to shift to partisan warfare. But there appeared to be no alternative. It feels sad, Mao told his colleagues that same day, to stand by with folded hands and watch your neighbor suffering from a national crisis. Stalin reacted to this unexpected demonstration of doubts in Beijing by pulling out all the stops. He reminded Mao on October 5th that he had earlier talked of sending Chinese troops to Korea. Were he to do so, the Americans would not only have to accept a settlement on the peninsula favorable to the North Koreans, they would also have to abandon the Taiwan and give up their plans for a separate peace with Japan and the revitalization of Japanese imperialism. China would get none of these benefits if it adopted a passive wait-and-see policy. Of course, Moscow had taken into account the possibility of a big war with the United States. Quote, should we fear this? In my opinion, we should not, because together we will be stronger than the USA and England, while the other European capitalist states, with the exception of Germany, which is unable to provide any assistance to the United States now, do not represent serious military forces. If a war is inevitable, then let it be waged now, and not in a few years when the Japanese militarism will be restored as an ally of the USA, and when the USA and Japan will have a ready-made bridgehead on the continent in the form of the entire Korea run by Syngman Rhee. Unquote.